Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It says here to take 2 for results in 8 hours. That means we should take 8 for results in 2. Yep.
With Dusty Hera.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, here we go, folks. Giving you a little bit of extra time on this because it is important that we get to it. We had Neil O'Shea speak to all of us yesterday, to the media, to the masses, about this Blazers roster, this Blazers season, and the direction that the franchise is going to go from here. We asked you earlier, what do you want to see? And it seemed like a lot of people wanted sweeping changes, whether it is with Neil O'Shea. Some wanted changes to Terry Stotts. Some wanted changes to the roster. I will say that it was refreshing to finally see very few where Stotts is the problem. But it seemed like everybody said there are sweeping changes that need to happen, except for Neil O'Shea yesterday. Take a listen.
Well, you know, last year was going to take sweeping changes because we got swept by Golden State in the first round, and all the alarmists overreacted. And then Golden State went on to sweep Utah and sweep San Antonio and basically, you know, win in 5 without breaking a sweat against Cleveland. And everybody overreacted. So let's be a little bit measured in our reaction to the fact that we ended up against a tough matchup with the best two-way player in the NBA having a career series. Drew is healthy and he played phenomenal basketball. It happens. But again, this idea of, you know, sweeping, where were all these people that wanted sweeping changes 10 days ago? Where were they? They were the ones, you know, bouncing off the walls in the Moda Center when we had the third seed for the first time since 1999-2000. So it's our job, Joe, to be measured and not overreact, because when you overreact is when you make mistakes. Nobody thinks this roster is a finished product. Everybody understands it is a work in progress, but it's a work in progress. But, you know, relative to people that back in December were complaining we weren't even going to make the playoffs and we were in purgatory because we weren't going to make the playoffs and we weren't going to pick high enough, and right, that was the rallying cry. Then it was, oh my God, well, they're going to blow the third seed because they're going to lose all these games down there. They're not even going to get home court advantage. They overreacted to that. And you know what? If the series goes 6 or 7, if game 1 goes differently, when we have the ball down 1, like, who knows where the series goes? But it didn't. But again, you don't take 4 games and overreact and diminish what you accomplished over 82 games. The foundation is built during the regular season. There are always extraneous factors that go into a playoff series. And look, we're the first ones out, so this will be heightened. And there'll be an over amount of attention paid to this series until other teams start going out. And then they'll all need sweeping changes.
Neil O'Shea needs a radio show. He talks so much.
What is his press conference?
Gosh, it is. Lord, he does. He needs his own. He needs his own podcast. He and CJ can get together and do a wine podcast. They can talk about how overreactions and the only way you measure a talent of a team is in the playoffs. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's in the NBA, there's the first season and then there's the season that really matters. Yes. That's the playoff season. There is no other measurement in the NBA. The NBA is doing this to us This is Adam Silver. Hey, by the way, we're going to make sure all our ratings go up in the playoffs because that's when it matters.
Yeah.
Folks, I mean, does he really believe that anybody is stupid enough to say a work in progress? Work in progress? What do you, work in progress? For how many playoff wins do the Blazers have in the last 5 years?
In the last 5 years? I don't know. They made it out of the first round.
Made it out of the first twice. Round because of what?
Well, they made it out of the first round. They made it out of the first round.
Yeah, and they had a couple of significant things that happened to them. They lost their two best players versus the Clippers. Other than that, this is what it is. Work in progress has already been shown to me that playoff basketball is when you achieve and you measure up with other teams.
Yeah.
The fact is you can't own that you're disappointed or frustrated is the thing that I understand that he's not going to do.
Yeah.
Because that's not his personality. But to lie and to sit there and say that, yes, you're polishing something that we all know is inefficient.
You know, and here's the thing is that this texture says, is the man wrong? Please tell me where he's wrong. Here's where he's not wrong, that they did get swept by the Golden State Warriors, who only lost one playoff game all last year. But that's not, he's deflecting to the fact that they lost to the Pelicans, they lost to Golden State, and not taking ownership of the fact they got swept by the New Orleans Pelicans. Blazer fans were going nuts when they lost, when they got the 3 seed 10 days ago. But 10 days ago, it was, we sat here, and he should read our text line, because it doesn't matter. 10 days ago, we were still getting texts that this does not mean that the Blazers are a win, like a championship contending team, a Western Conference contending team. They have significant holes. We knew that going in. During the 13-game winning streak, I got blasted for saying that, hey, embrace this ride, but it doesn't change who the Blazers are.
Yeah.
And it didn't. Blazers got swept by the Pelicans, not the Warriors.
And
that's
all of
what
us,
people are frustrated
and,
with.
And it's fair, too, because all of us are going to live in the moment of saying, embrace the moment of what it is the Blazers are doing.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you, this is a clear-cut thing when you listen to it. Listen to his response. This is not somebody that does not hear and have eyes and ears everywhere.
Absolutely.
This man is so concerned about public perception that the confidence level, he doesn't even have confidence in his own decisions, because what he said was, where are all you guys Blazer fans 10 days ago? What's a fan, Neil O'Shea? Short for fanatic. What is a fan's job to do? Cheer and get excited over wins.
And I
so now you're putting yourself on the same level as a fan saying, well, what do you want fans to do, Neil? What are you excited for? Don't you want your fans in the Moda Center cheering during when things are good? And then 10 days ago, you want to now call out the people that were cheering because they're not on your level. They're not a general manager. They're not somebody supposed to be calm, cool, collected, and understand the darts are to get thrown at you when you don't perform with your roster.
You know,
you are sensitive. You are worried about your own job, which you should be. And you need to be defensive. But when you start calling out fans and press and media and say they're not at your level, it's condescending, it's down-talking, and that's somebody that's not confident in their job.
He wants an apathetic fan base that doesn't care.
Pros don't do this, guys. Pro general manager, you don't do this.
Well, here's the... Here's
sensitive the guys do it.
He wants apathy from the fan base that only... It's like, oh, well, they lost. No. What happens when you get the 3 seed is you heighten your expectations. The Blazers are and their fan base are sick and tired of being stuck in a rut of first round bounces. And when they do make it to the second round, it's because Gerald Henderson breaks his hand breaks the hand of Chris Paul due to his rock solid buns, and Blake Griffin goes down. Right, like they want to beat a team and beat them legitimately. The last time they did that was against the Houston Rockets, where it took Damian Lillard a 0.9-second prayer that it was answered, okay? But here's a problem, and this is why people are upset and have a right to be upset. Matt Moore, who is on the at HP Basketball, he works for, I believe, the Action Network, the gambling site now. This is his tweet. Oh, the Blazers generated the most unguarded spot-up shots per game of any team in the NBA playoffs. They shot 36% on them. Yeesh.
Unguarded.
So they had the most unguarded looks of any team in the NBA thus far. They shot 36% on them, on those shots, right? That is why people are upset. That they like the Pelicans said, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, we're going to take you guys away. Anybody else beat us? and the Blazers couldn't do it. They shot 36% on unguarded attempts in that series. That's a problem. And Blazer fans are frustrated now. And they have a right to be frustrated. Like, when he points out, though, I like the tempered kind of expectations. Like, look, last year we ran into a juggernaut. Okay? True. They ran into a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Golden State. This year you didn't. This year you ran into New Orleans.
Yeah, what's your excuse this year?
Well, and that's the thing, is that it's a work in progress.
Peaking, work in progress.
And that
5-year window, vacuum.
That is something that Blazer fans are sick of hearing. Is, when is the product going to be finished? When is it?
Oh, we're 8 years in with his tenure.
Well, and that's...
What have you achieved since the first time Neil O'Shea got here to here we are now? Are the Blazers better off than when Neil O'Shea took over than when he is now? You have to ask yourself that.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Okay.
And you got to give him credit for where credit is due on that. They are better now than they were when he got here. So I will say yes.
Okay.
To that.
That's it's up to everyone's personal opinion.
Well, you don't think they are?
Like I said, I wasn't here when he first got here.
Yeah.
So I'm only taking the time that I've been able to watch Blazer basketball is really, really delve into it. It was starting in 2014, and I'm in that window now of seeing something that's being very repetitive.
It is very, very repetitive. And that is like, that's what's not sitting well with fans. You know, mm-hmm. We're sitting here and we're going, what is the guy supposed to say? What is this guy supposed to say? I think that there's just the same thing over and over again. It's a work in progress. There are glaring holes that need to be addressed.
I'd like a little bit of ownership, just a small amount of ownership, and maybe something that say this is not where I would like to see this team, and there are going to be some things that we need to do. That just a small amount of instead of such condescending, talk down, trying to be the man in the room, which you're smarter than everybody. Okay, we know you're smarter than everybody. Great,
right.
Thank you. Great.
Right. And this
what is going to be the change?
This text says, O'Shea, somebody should ask Neil whether he would rather be a 3 seed and get swept or being a 7 seed and making it to the conference finals. Because he said that an 82-game season, earlier we played the audio, an 82-game season is more indicative of what they are than a 4-game playoff series. Mm-hmm. And if you get to the playoffs and you scratch and claw your way in, it doesn't matter. It's where you're standing at the end of the year. Isn't that it?
Yep.
I mean, like, I was like saying, you know, the 162-game regular season schedule is more important than the Giants making run from the wild card and winning the World Series. Nobody's going to buy that. And Blazer fans aren't buying that. They're not buying it this morning. There's one more piece of audio. What do you want to see the change be? We got one more from Neil. And this involves what the changes may be moving forward for Portland. And it involves with O'Shea on the salary cap issues that are a problem here in Portland. They've been a pronounced problem here in Portland and where the Blazers may go from here. Plus, solution or part of the problem? It is 812 on the fan. All right, 55305. That's the text line. Neil O'Shea speaks yesterday. He's got Blazer fans all hot and bothered. and I think that this is a decent one from P1 Dustin. Is how about say, this is not good enough. I have to be better. We have to be better. And we will.
Perfect.
Like a professional GM. And I think that is where
that's Blazer, what Dame says.
Yeah, the defensiveness that Neil O'Shea has mm-hmm. when defending what this roster is. I don't like... Hey, go to bat for your guys. I do like that and appreciate that about Neil O'Shea. But don't pretend like we're all dumb.
He does.
And we yeah.
And he also tells everybody that it's if you ever noticed something it's clear is that you don't want to be around negative people. I understand that.
Right.
I can value that a bunch of negative things will bring the ship down. But it's the fact is when you can realize the mistakes and some of the things you can have and you can be honest with somebody, he's not talking honest to us.
Yeah.
And that's the part that is so bothersome. But maybe he feels like, I don't have to. And if you want to feel that way, well, got no problems with it. But it's going to reflect on what you do with your organization based on how you perform in the playoffs.
To the point of how I feel about this Blazers team. And kind of that idea of the way Neil O'Shea is talking to us and about us, the Blazers had the fourth highest payroll in the NBA, right? According to SpotTrack in NBA salaries, they are $20 million over the cap. Okay? Here's Neil O'Shea discussing the salary cap issues that the Blazers have.
You know, people get caught up in financial restrictions. First of all, half the league is at or will be in the... Right, Sean? I see Sean smiling and he started typing because he knows the salary cap. So half the league is projected to be in the salary cap next year. Okay, it's a result of the cap spike from 2 years ago, increased spending. That's the way it is. But, you know, there's a million ways to build a team. And I think everybody gets caught up on thinking there's some magic solution because you have cap room or you have an exception or you have... That's not necessarily true. If you look at how many teams got better this year because of trade or draft-related moves versus teams that got a free agent to come into their cap room, the teams that did the former improved greater than the teams that just signed the free agent. That's how it works.
Yes. He says, you know, not all of them are... But not all of these cap hits in being in the luxury tax are created equal because... The Blazers are in a bunch with the Washington Wizards, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Golden State Warriors, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. They are very similar to the Washington Wizards, and their fan base isn't happy with the salary cap place that they're at. But they've got Bradley Beal, John Wall, and Marcin Gortat, Otto Porter, and Kelly Oubre is playing really well right now. But Kelly Oubre was a find and a diamond
it's
in the rough.
It's a tough roster.
You are sitting there, and right now, this is where the Blazer fans have issue, is that okay, Evan Turner was a free agent guy, $17 million next year, $18 million in 2019. Al-Farouq Aminu is the steal of this thing at $6.9 million for next year. But Maurice Harkless gets paid $11 million next year and $11.5 million in 2019. Myers Leonard gets paid $10.5 million next year and $11.2 million the year after that. Like, that is that, and wherein lies the issue here is that it's not that the Blazers are over the cap because fans wouldn't care.
It's just a couple of bad contracts.
It's where those bad contracts make it an inability to move them, one. And two is to bring anybody else in. He mentions like trades and having assets and things like that. Totally agree. 110%. But who's biting the bullet on Myers Leonard's $24 million or $23 million remaining on his salary?
Nobody.
Nobody is.
Nobody's going to do it.
Nobody. And that's the frustrating part, and that's why people are upset about the salary cap issues. It's not that you're paying Dame, you're paying CJ, and you'd be willing to pay Yusuf Nurkic. It's that, yes, these contracts are here. Can you move them? And if they can move any of those deals, those perceived bad contracts, this fan base would go nuts.
But you know how he uses the word assets? What are your assets for the team? If you have guys that are overpaid and you don't have draft picks, what assets do you have to be versatile with? That's how I ask the question. I mean, he makes it out to sound like, okay, we're in good position. The draft is how you manufacture and how you build through the draft. I believe that. I can trust that thought process. Mm-hmm. It's just when you overpay and now that you have no ability or zero ability to make any free agent moves, that's when it becomes a little bit frustrating.
Yes.
Because you can add some veteran pieces. Evan Turner's supposed to be a veteran piece that you add. Who's the best veteran that's been on the Blazers? Well, they're no longer on the roster. They're gone. Guys like Wesley Matthews, gone. You're not going to invest in a guy that doesn't be a part of it. I mean, some of these guys, the veterans that have been here that you now have moved on from, all right. I mean, if they don't work, they don't work.
Your best veterans are Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And that is, I'll ride with Dame.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum. He may be one of those assets you're talking about.
He might be.
Where what do you get in return?
He might be.
And I like CJ. I think CJ is a nice player, but sometimes it takes giving up a nice player and throwing in one of those Myers contracts or whatever, and you get some nice players in return, but it gives you a little bit more flexibility as well. Mm-hmm. And they do have a trade exception too. All right. Part of the solution... We're part of the problem. Uncle Buck is going to pose some questions to us about the solution or the problem. Oh, a little music in the background, too.
That's great. I got a little John Tesh going this morning.
All right.
All right,
what
boys.
Do you got for us?
Yep. So So part of the solution or part of the problem, we're looking at the key pieces in the Blazers organization, or at least pieces that could potentially be on the move. I want to know if you guys think they should be part of the core going forward or not. So we'll start with Terry's.
And play along at 553
please.
Fan text line.
Yes, absolutely. Text us on the text line. First one we'll go with is Terry Stotts. Part of the solution or part of the problem?
Part of the solution. I do not believe Terry Stotts is part of the problem. Mentioned this tweet earlier from Matt Moore of the Action Sports Network. The Blazers have more unguarded shots than any other team in the NBA so far. They've shot 36%. He gets guys open. He puts them in a good spot to succeed. Their defense is good team defense. He gets his guys to buy in. I do not believe Terry Stotts is part of the problem.
I also think solution. I love everything he does. The only thing I'd like to see is more up-tempo. But if you have a roster of the guys that can't finish out in the front and get out and run, that's not his fault. So, yes, part of the solution.
All right, so maybe a little trickier. Neil Olshey.
Oh, man. This is a tough one because, like, he gets defensive. He doesn't frame it very well. I think he's drafted well with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. I think Zach Collins will be a nice player. And I think he keeps his job. But with all of that said, I think that part of the problem is that that nasty. You need a little streak of nasty in you, and this Blazers roster doesn't have it. So I'll say problem.
I also think part of the problem, and I think Neil Olshey will have his job as long as he wants here in Portland. I think that he and Paul Allen have a good relationship. I could be off base, but I think that's too. The only thing I'd like to see is that if we're never going to change his personality, would he be willing to understand and listen to other people in the organization and take it at heart that I can have help, I can bring in an assistant GM, I can find somebody on the outside, special assistant, or even some way, somehow, somebody. Yeah. What are you willing to do to listen to on the outside?
This texter problem. He signs stupid contracts. Good drafter, bad negotiating skills. I think one thing that he does is if he drafts a guy, he sticks by that guy, and he wants that guy to be successful so he looks better, obviously, and he hangs on to them far too long. Myers on it.
He's like a stockbroker that hangs on to a stock too long, and as it keeps falling, he keeps throwing more money and holding on to it till it hits rock bottom.
Yeah.
All right, so Neil had this to say. We're going to move on to a couple of free agents. He had this to say about the upcoming free agent class on his squad.
I mean, we can't. I mean, Joe, we can't discuss free agency. I mean, look, he's a restricted free agent, and we'll handle that when free agency starts. But, you know, he's not the only restricted free agent on the roster. You know, Pat's restricted. Shabazz is restricted. You know, Ed's unrestricted. So, we've got some guys we've got to deal with internally, and we'll, like I said, we'll handle that.
So, we have some guys we need to talk about.
Speaking of Nurkic on that one, by the way.
Yeah, he was starting there referring to Nurkic. So, Yusuf Nurkic, part of the problem or part of the solution?
A solution. They had a big uptick defensively. I think he stays if the number is right, because one of the good things that if somebody goes too high, Blazers can't match it because they're in salary cap.
I could give Yusuf, Yusuf Myers' contract, I would take it all day long. He is depth. He is depth that the Blazers need. He's size. He has those types of ability. He can develop as a young player. That's what Blazers need is big guys that come off the bench or even be a big body defender. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, part of the solution.
Yeah. All right, how about Pat Connaughton?
See, and this is the thing, is that I don't think that Pat Connaughton is part of the problem, but I also don't think that he's part of the solution either. I think he's kind of no man's land.
Yeah.
If they were able to keep him on a low contract, heck yeah, keep Pat Connaughton around because he's one of those chemistry guys that Olshey likes.
Chemistry or difference maker? I need difference makers, and unfortunately, you're in the performance-based business. Nice guys are good. Good guys, good locker room, those things. And I wish Pat all the luck in the world. I really do, but you got to be a difference maker out on the court, and I just haven't seen that part yet.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Because when he's on, man, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But this is like every single player on this roster outside of Dame and CJ.
Yeah.
Well, even CJ has a little bit. This is a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, before we get to Dame and CJ, Shabazz Napier and Ed Davis, solution or problem?
Ed Davis, solution.
Yeah, Ed Davis
Keep
is definitely
that
solution.
Man.
Yep. Right there with it. Shabazz, to me, he did not shoot well enough down the stretch when you needed him. The open shots he let go, and he brings a good little bit of toughness. He's just undersized. The Blazers don't need small guards anymore. We don't need undersized guards, and he is undersized, and so I would say part of the problem.
Shabazz Napier, to me, is Pat Connaughton. Not part of the problem. Probably not part of the solution. Guys seem to love him, too, in the locker room.
So speaking of undersized guards, CJ McCollum was asked about being the focal point with Dame and whether they can be contenders together. Here's what CJ had to say.
I think, you know, for one, people have to write about something. So I think that's a good narrative to find when you get swept and you lose a lot of games in the playoffs. But I mean, you have to be realistic. We lost to the best team in the NBA the last 2 years. The 73-win team, as Dame said before, a 73-win team, and a team who lost, what, one game? They lost one game in the playoffs that year. So if that's the case, you know, the other 15 teams need to do some serious changes as well, not just with their backup, but with their team, since we need to change. I think everybody should try to figure out ways to improve. But, you know, winning 49 games was great. We would have liked to achieve more in the postseason. We didn't. That's the reality. But I think a lot of other teams in the league would like to, you know, have five straight trips to the playoffs, would like to be competitive, you know, against some of the top-tier teams in the NBA, and would like to be in the postseason, would like to advance in the postseason, but it doesn't happen that way all the time. So obviously we need to improve. We need to figure out ways to get better. But I don't necessarily think that, you know, it's right to just, you know, want to make those type of drastic changes. But everybody has a right to their own opinion. And you have to respect it. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to respect people's opinions.
Hmm. You don't even have to respect people's opinions. You don't even have to agree with them. I
So I think I know where you guys are on Damian Lillard being part of the solution. CJ McCollum, part of the problem, part of the solution.
CJ called himself this on Twitter. He called himself a lion.
During his beef with
Jason Quick from NBC Sports Northwest about a tweet about doing that, he called himself a lion. All right. That's, if you want to intensify your that, I got no problems believing yourself that. I don't. I mean, CJ, you got to believe in yourself. You're going to be a great player. Nothing wrong with that at all. Is CJ a difference maker, all-star quality that can lead this team and help pull pressure off of Damian Lillard? I've seen enough. Like I said, he said, you don't have to respect it, and I don't have to respect it. I respect him as a player. It's part of the problem.
I think one of the problems with this roster is your physicality. And I think that CJ McCollum is probably one of the most tradable assets that this team has. Mm-hmm. CJ McCollum is a very good player in the NBA.
Very good player.
CJ McCollum would be very valuable on a contending team in the NBA. And he is wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it will happen. But I think that he is one of the guys that they could trade him and they could get a lot in return. And I think one of the problems with this team is your backcourt defense, because Aminu, good defender. Harkless, good defender. Nurkic, good defender. Those three guys have, in their versatility, have been the difference in this team becoming a top 10 defensive team. Yeah. Number one interior defense in the NBA.
Again.
You can get by without Damian Lillard being a good defender. You need one more.
Again, listen when guys talk about things and worry about things that you can't control from the past. Talk about the future.
Really? I do like him, though. I do like his. I like
take control,
CJ's
man.
Game. I like CJ's game. All right, is that it, Buck?
That's going to do it for problem or solution.
All right, feedback coming in, 55305. There it is. A lot of feedback coming in on this. We'll put a bow on it coming up next. Plus, got some baseball talk that we need to get to. All right, 55305, that is the fan text line. Justin Cam with you. You mentioned CJ's lion quote. The lion quote was said by one of the most evil dudes in Game of Thrones, according to North Plains Adam. It's a common phrase, but, lions don't was it? Lions don't concern themselves with sheep.
Sheep?
Yeah.
Lions? I thought it was wolves.
No, lions do, you know.
Wolves and sheep.
Lions do it all.
I've referred to myself as an alpha before. And I don't, I mean, that's because I'm just, I can be a dunderhead most of the times. And I can be, you know, kind of a, thinking in the wall and just not really thinking. You just kind of be, oh, there's the meathead factor sometimes too. But when I think of lions, for me, I think of leaders. I think of guys that want the ball, want to close. And it's a tough trait to you know, and confidence is great. You should be confident. I need that. And what's realistic is that call yourself a lion.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Just be prepared for the criticism.
Yeah, I think you may be reading into it a little bit further than most people are, but...
But this has happened before, Dusty. It's not like it's small. I mean,
what do you mean?
You need to reiterate. He calls himself this multiple times. This isn't something that he said, oh, yes. This is not something that just pops up.
Oh, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, this is... I mean, you're trying to sell something to somebody.
Right, right. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a whole deal. Blazer fans, all pretty worked up this morning, you know, Sam the Mailman makes a good point. CJ and Neil both said it. He says, what I can't figure out is why everyone on the Blazers keeps talking about Golden State. Last time I checked, we lost to the Pelicans.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Last year, because people bring up that 10-game losing streak in the playoffs.
Yeah, you lost.
You lost six of them to Golden State, but people are upset about the four you lost to the Pelicans. Because this wasn't the conversation last year. It's a decidedly different tone from Blazer fans after getting swept by the New Orleans Pelicans than it was the Golden State Warriors. Because last year it was 8 seed. Golden State, good. And guess what? Golden State was good. But Pelicans aren't sweeping Golden State in the next round. Can tell you that much, you know? And that's another thing, Blazer fans, brace yourself. New Orleans doesn't match up as favorably with Golden State. Shocking, I know. But they could get housed if Steph Curry comes back and is his old self. They could get housed, and Blazer fans are going to feel that much worse about it.
I think they're going to go into the series with a lot of confidence, though, Dustin. I don't think it's a, I think it's a walkthrough. I don't.
Yeah. There we go.
But Golden State wins the series.
Want to talk some baseball?
Depends.
No?
And not the diapers.
Ichiro is still a Mariner.
Yeah, what are they doing?
If you're a Mariner and Blazer fan, it was a bad weekend for you, dude. What are they doing?
You won the series. You took 2 of 3.
Yeah, but they designated Heredia. Heredia?
Here's what I think they're doing.
They put him down to the minors, and they keep Ichiro on the bigs. He doesn't play.
Yeah, you're keeping Ichiro for the first quarter of the season. So you're going to give him 40 games probably. You're going to give him a chance not to be a sign and get on out of here. There's a little bit of a send-off maybe, kind of like what they did with Ken Griffey Jr. when they brought him back for his farewell season. I don't think he makes it through the season because you're going to need roster spots. But they at least get him maybe through a quarter. Because what is he really offering? Is he a great locker room guy? No.
No, but you have a roster that's good enough to, like, compete right now, and he's not one of those players that's good enough to compete right now.
It'll change. It'll change. They're going to give it that.
All right. Well, that sucks for Mariners fans having to watch them.
Jeez, hater. They're over 500.
Well, I mean, really.
They're in third.
And that should be the frustrating part.
Well, they're in third.
Right now, they're 11-9.
I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at right now.
Sure, you should.
Yeah.
You should, but you should also want to keep a decent little player who got in the game that I was at before Ichiro did. They weren't bringing in Ichiro to pinch hit against the Astros last Thursday.
No.
They brought in
Hey, there's unspoken rules of baseball that you need to do with these types of players. You got to give them a good send-off.
I guess.
The samurai send-off.
Oh my gosh. This texture, I'm a Mariner, Blazer, and Chiefs fan. My life sucks in sports right now.
Mariners over 500.
You got Patrick Mahomes.
What are you worried about?
You got
Patrick Mahomes. You got a ton of future.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, I could understand your Blazer anger right now, but what do you got to argue about the Mariners and the Chiefs?
I think just like if you take like the last, 17 years of the Mariners, I think you can have a good case for
I'm living in the now.
While you're a little beat up about it.
Living the now.
Yeah.
Is that all you got about baseball? You just want to hate on the Mems right now? Is that was your baseball hot take for the day?
No. I have Derek Jeter audio for tomorrow that we can play.
Ooh, good. He's taking a lot of heat.
Should I defend Derek Jeter? I have a little bit
I know what he's doing. Everybody knows what he's doing.
But he's not articulating it very well.
Yeah,
that's... I don't know. That's hard to... It's a hard pill to swallow, though, if you're looking at the Marlins and he's saying that they're not tanking, yet they traded their four best players. Where, honestly, just be honest with the people.
He can't admit it because then he'd be in trouble.
Yeah, the problem's with the language there. It's the same thing that Adam Silver was having with all the NBA guys.
Yeah,
even
you can't
if
say it.
Guys are clearly doing it. They don't want to say that they're doing it, but they can't say that they are, even though everyone knows they are.
Well, the Astros were pretty clear what they were doing.
That's true.
And, it's a smart move. The thing about it is that Jeter tried to sell it at the beginning and that, no, we're here to compete right now. And now people are looking at the product going, no, you're not. And he's still trying to say we're trying to compete
right now. Buck, mark this down and mark it down. We will hear how many times the Astros have tanked to success. I'm going to say the over-under this year will be 20.
For what?
The amount of times you say the Astros have tanked and they now are successful. It will be.
Dusty, you're going to take the over or under on that line.
He can't take the over under because he won't remember it. But we're already past probably five.
Well, what is
we started the baseball season?
So then, if I say the 76ers did it, the Cubs did it. I mean,
No. You're not going to say the 76ers or the Cubs. You're going to say the Houston Astros.
Well, yeah, but they're the defending World Series champions. So when you're talking
congratulations,
about
congratulations, I'm glad. I'm happy for that. It worked. Once.
Okay, then I'll go back one more year to when the Chicago Cubs did it with
Theo
Epstein.
And it worked once and once. And all these great franchises that tank and all this tanking is the key to success. I get that. I get it. But my point is that how many times it's just mark it down, Buck. That's what I'm just saying.
I'm just.
Hey, embrace
the tally started.
Embrace it.
Well, it worked for them.
It worked.
Did it not?
It worked. Congratulations. It worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
It was awesome.
Congratulations.
It was awesome.
It's a new year.
Some other team should
congratulations.
Try it. It's really good.
Congratulations.
You're congratulations. A little
butt hurt. No, I get it. Every time someone mentions tanking, it's like, oh, it's the end-all solution. It's not the solution.
In baseball, if your owners aren't willing to pony up the dough, or if you don't have the dough, like Derek Jeter, they don't have the money to compete by paying a Red Sox or Yankees salary. They just don't have that money.
Okay.
So, or the Dodgers, they can't compete financially with that. So what do? You try to find the shortcut, mm-hmm. and that shortcut is through hell, which is tanking.
I don't believe the tanking is the philosophy.
What philosophy?
I just don't think finding a way to lose and quit is the philosophy. Now, being strategic and using your analytics and understanding if you can underplay players by having a great scouting department and doing it that way, I believe a lot of great franchises do that. Boston does it. Cardinals do it. You know, the Dodgers do it. They don't do it with tanking. They do it with really good strategy and good front office and good farm systems. Tanking isn't always the solution. It's an option.
It's an option if you're broke, too.
There's no broke NBA or there's no broke professional sports franchises.
Well, if you're a
broke,
well,
you're going to sell that one.
You're not willing to pay the salaries. Your ownership is not willing to pay the salaries.
Not broke.
The Miami Marlins, it was in question whether or not they had.
All right, this
actual,
is dumb. Let's move on. Let's get on to stuff that's pertinent than do that.
They had it's in question whether they had the financial backing to even purchase the team, let alone run it with a. Yeah. $200 million payroll.
Oh, great. Okay.
What?
Yeah, like this texter says, the Mariners are spending a crap ton of money. Has nothing to do. It has to do with good people, smart people, understanding how to develop
no
and build talent.
No doubt about it.
Tanking doesn't. You got to have smart people in leadership roles, understanding and seeing that talent and how good they can become. Losing, though, is a culture. That's not a good culture to be around.
No.
Okay.
Well, what you have to do is you have to have direction with it. And what all these good franchises do that go this route are they bring up their young talent that they compile in the minors while they're tanking. They bring them all up together, develop and build them together, and bring them up to the bigs at the same time to where they learn how to win. And if you look at what the Cubs were doing, what the Red Sox were doing,
I know you said that like 2-3 minutes ago.
They brought them up through the minor league systems together. So when
Yankees
they got
have
to
a
the
lot
bigs,
of championships,
they win.
There's lots of ways to skin a cat. Losing is just a bad culture.
Sure is.
It's not good.
No.
And last time I checked, when you say the word tanking, nobody thinks of that's a good thing. It's not. Tanking, you don't say, hey, I like to tank today.
The
word is formed.
You're trying to get a high draft pick, though.
It just is the, yeah.
I get you don't like it. I know.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Okay.
55305 Dusty Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305 Fan text line. I got a story from Australia for you here. Did you see that a 12-year-old boy? He asked his parents if he could go to Bali, and he stole his mom's credit card, booked a flight from Australia to Bali, and left for 2 weeks without telling anybody. And they ended up tracking him down after his parents.
So wait a minute. How did he get away with stealing his mom's credit card?
So he's a 12-year-old kid, and apparently in Australia, all you have to do is have a student ID and a passport to travel alone, even if you're 12. He got into an argument with his mom. This kid sounds like a brat, by the way. His mom was like, no, you can't go to Bali. So he went and stole her credit card when she wasn't like at night, bought his flight to Bali, tricked his grandmother somehow into giving him his passport and said he was going to school, took off and ran around in Bali from March 8th through March 17th. And his ID was checked one time the entire time. He even checked into a hotel by saying his sister would be there later.
It sounds fishy to me.
Yeah.
But on that lines, I did see the mom that left her 5 children at home all under the age of 12 and took off to Europe for, I don't know, a month. And she got in trouble also for that. Just decided to leave the kids at home. Said the uncle was coming over in a few days, but said, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm just going to go off to Europe for a month.
That is the worst thing.
Yeah, she got in trouble for that.
That woman should go to prison.
Prison?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to hear to judge that.
5 kids under 12?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little risky. I don't think I'm being facetious. Yeah, she's probably going to be in trouble.
That woman should go to prison.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they have a father somewhere around that can grab them or something. That's nuts. Little lunacy. People are crazy. There's a lot of crazy people out there.
The ball's on this kid, though, to steal your mom's credit card and fly to another country.
Oh, come on. We're all guilty of going in dad's wallet for that dollar to get the Laffy Taffy.
It's actually kind of impressive he pulled it off.
Yeah, that's impressive. With a credit card, though. Oof. That is.
Well,
yeah, Kevin McAllister did do that. Yes, he did.
Well,
might be the greatest credit card fraud of all time.
Well, hold on now. He did it by necessity. He didn't actively try to get away from his family.
No, it was all on purpose.
It had to be.
It's all part of the show.
Man, I like it. All right, all part of the show. 55305, that is a Fan text line. That's how you can interact with this fine station where Dirt and Sprague will be on live from noon to 3. Isaac and Suk from 3 till 7. They'll be breaking down all of the Blazers postseason audio. Thank you for the feedback and the interaction today. Up next, though, is The Herd with Colin Cowherd from 9 to noon. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. This has been Dustin Cam, 1080, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.